sermon is number 16 in my 18-part sermon series on the book of Acts. Now, for those of you here today who missed some of these sermons, allow me to catch you up to speed. You see, the book of Acts was written by Luke, the same Luke who wrote the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke was written first, and in that Gospel, Luke talks about Jesus' birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension. But then he wrote the book of Acts, and there he tells us what happens after Jesus ascends to heaven. Simply put, Jesus sends his apostles to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins in his name. And so began God's mission to the lost sinners of this world. Now, as we made our way through the book of Acts during this sermon series, we learned many wonderful things about the early Christian church and how those events also apply to our lives today. And for those of you who did miss some of those sermons, you can read them or listen to them on the webpage. I'd encourage you to do that. Now, at the point in the sermon series, several weeks back, when we examined Acts chapter 9, there we learned how an unbelieving Pharisee named Saul ended up becoming an apostle of Jesus by the name of Paul. And this same Paul talks about that conversion event in today's reading. You see, today's reading begins in Acts chapter 25 and goes through Acts chapter 26. And you need to know that at this point in history, over 20 years has gone by since Paul's conversion, which is described in Acts chapter 9. Now, during those 20 years, Paul went on three separate missionary journeys. And during those three missionary journeys, Paul preached repentance and forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name to both Jews and Gentiles in various regions of the world. Now, after his third missionary journey, the Holy Spirit tells Paul to go back to Jerusalem and once again preach about Jesus to the Jews who were there. However, the Holy Spirit also warns Paul ahead of time that most of the Jews will reject his message and will persecute him. Nevertheless, we learned that God is in control of these circumstances, and he would work through them to give Paul many opportunities to speak about Jesus to various people. So, Paul ends up in Jerusalem, and he witnesses to the Jews there, just as God wanted him to do. Sadly, many unbelieving Jews ended up starting a riot. And so the Roman commander in Jerusalem sends soldiers in to bring order to the chaos and protect Paul. After that, the Roman commander arranges for Paul to meet with the Jerusalem Sanhedrin, which was a council of Jewish religious leaders. Well, Paul witnesses to them also, and most of them reject his message. In fact, most of them want Paul put to death. Well, since Paul was a Roman citizen, he had the right to a fair trial. So the Roman commander in Jerusalem decided to send Paul to Caesarea to stand trial before the Roman ruler in that area, a man by the name of Felix. And last Sunday, we heard about Paul's witness to Felix as we read about it in Acts chapter 24. Remember how that reading ended? Paul ends up staying in Caesarea for 2 years until Felix is eventually replaced by another Roman ruler by the name of Festus. And that takes us to the beginning of today's reading. Now, once Festus took over, he learned about Paul's trial, which had dragged out for 2 long years. So Festus makes a trip to Jerusalem to meet with the Jewish leaders there and find out what the fuss is all about. Well, after a few days, Festus goes back to Caesarea and tells the Jerusalem Jews to travel there for Paul's trial. Now, Once they're all in Caesarea, Luke tells us that Festus wanted to do the Jews a favor. Maybe Festus thought the Jews would reward him with some money. Who knows? But what was the favor he wanted to do for them? Well, you might recall in our reading, the Jews wanted Festus to send Paul to Jerusalem and stand trial there. But their real intention was that on the way there, they would ambush Paul and kill him before he ever got to Jerusalem. That was the plan. That was the favor that Festus wanted to grant the Jews. So, Festus asks Paul if he would be willing to stand trial in Jerusalem. Well, Paul knew that the Jews were up to something fishy, so he says, "I appeal to Caesar." Now, when Paul spoke those words, the result would be that he would end up going to Rome to stand trial in the highest court of the empire. In fact, in a recent sermon, you may remember that Jesus told Paul that he would eventually end up in Rome so that he could preach God's word there also. So once again, we see that God is in control of the situation. However, before Paul gets shipped off to Rome, Luke tells us that another local ruler named King Agrippa arrives in Caesarea. Festus tells King Agrippa about the goings-on with Paul and his trial. And as a result, King Agrippa decides that he wants to hear Paul's testimony for himself. And this takes us to the beginning of Acts chapter 26. Now, at the beginning of Paul's speech, we find out that King Agrippa is knowledgeable of the Old Testament scriptures as well as Jewish law. So Paul is hoping that he can help King Agrippa realize how the Old Testament scriptures have been fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus. Next, Paul reminds everyone there that he had once been an unbelieving Jew, just like the ones who wanted to put him to death. In fact, Paul had been a Pharisee and was a hero among the Jewish people. Even more, Paul persecuted the Jews who converted to faith in Jesus. After that, Paul tells about an event recorded in Acts chapter 9, an event that had occurred 20 years earlier in his life. That time when he was traveling to Damascus to persecute Christians there, the risen and ascended Jesus himself appeared to Paul. And the result was that Paul repented of his many sins, especially his refusal to trust in Jesus. In fact, do you remember what Jesus said to Paul? Paul recounts his words. Listen. "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Now, what in the world does Jesus mean when he says that it was hard for Paul to kick against the goads? What does that mean? Well, you need to realize that a goad, back then, was a pointed stick that farmers would use to poke oxen. Now, why would they poke oxen? Well, when they were plowing their fields, sometimes oxen would become stubborn and they wouldn't want to move. And so farmers would use goads to prick them, so eventually the oxen would give in and start doing what they were supposed to be doing. Now, how does that analogy apply to Paul? Well, the Holy Spirit had been using the goad of God's word to prick at Paul's heart. And even though Paul was resisting the Holy Spirit, it was getting harder and harder for him to deny the fact that the scriptures pointed to Jesus. But why was Paul so unwilling to admit his error and believe in Jesus? The reason is that Paul foolishly thought that he had a lot to lose by becoming a Christian. You see, as a Pharisee, Paul wrongly thought that God would forgive him because of his holy life and his faithful obedience. Like many other Jews, Paul was offended by Christ's teaching. And what did Christ teach? Well, Jesus taught that we are all sinners who deserve God's wrath, and our only hope is to trust in Jesus, His Son, who came to this world to save us from our sins by dying on the cross in our place of damnation, and then conquering death for us by His own resurrection from the grave, whereby we have the hope of eternal life in God's love. Now, deep down in Paul's heart, he knew that the Old Testament scriptures pointed ahead to Jesus, but he kept kicking against the goad of the Holy Spirit because he did not want to admit that he was a sinner who needed to trust in Jesus. But when Paul was confronted by the risen and ascended Jesus himself, he couldn't kick against the goads anymore. Paul repented, and he trusted in Jesus as his Lord and Savior. My friends, we can learn something from this. You see, the Holy Spirit is constantly goading us with God's Word so that we will repent of our sins on a daily basis, and on a daily basis trust in Jesus as our Savior, and on a daily basis live our lives to His glory. But you see, the devil is constantly tempting us to kick against the goads. And when we listen to the devil, the results can be tragic. For example, sometimes we're tempted to deny the fact that we're sinners, or at least we think we're not as bad as other people. And what is the result? Well, we end up doing things that we know are condemned by God's Word, but we find ways to justify and excuse it somehow. Other times, we may push Jesus out of our lives. You know how that happens. We stop attending church services because we think we don't need it. We refuse to read and study God's Word because we don't think we need it. We fail to take time to pray because we think we have better things to do. All this happens because the devil has deceived us into thinking that we have too much to lose if we take Jesus seriously. But just like God did not give up on Paul, God does not give up on us. Today, Jesus is saying to you, it is hard for you to kick against the goads. My friends, that's why you're here today. God wants you to hear His Word so that, like Paul, you can repent of your sin, trust in Jesus for salvation, and rejoice in living your life for Him. That's why God created you. In Paul's case, Jesus decided to make him one of His own apostles. Remember what Jesus said to him? Listen, I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Did you hear what Jesus said? Without faith in Him, we live in spiritual darkness, and we are under the power of Satan. And what's really sad is that unbelievers don't even realize this. You see, until unbelievers hear the truth, they think that they've got things all figured out, and they think that they're in control of their own lives. But the reality is, they are spiritually blind, and they're actually puppets of the devil. The same devil who wants them to suffer with him forever in hell. But my friends, God doesn't want that to be our fate. That's why God saved Paul, and that's why God sent Paul to preach the gospel to both Jews and Gentiles. That's why God used other people to bring the good news of Jesus to you. And that's why God wants to use you to bring the good news of Jesus to other people. You see, the mission that we read about in the book of Acts, that mission continues today through us, the members of Concordia Lutheran Church. Let's go back to our reading. Paul then tells Agrippa that he has done nothing against Jewish law. In fact, Paul stresses that he has always and only proclaimed the truth of God's word. Paul said, "I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds." Did you hear what Paul said? This is what it means to be a Christian in a nutshell. Paul mentioned three things. First, God moves you to repent of your sins and admit that you deserve only His wrath. Second, God moves you to trust in Jesus as your Savior, believing that in Him you are holy and innocent in God's sight. And thirdly, God's love will then move you to give evidence that you are a Christian by the way that you live, saying no to the things that God forbids and yes to the good things that He wants you to be doing. Now, of course, none of us will ever live a perfect life. Because we are sinners, sometimes we will do the evil God forbids, and sometimes we will fail to do the good God commands. But if we are Christians, we will experience remorse and guilt over our sin. We will cling to Jesus for the assurance that we are forgiven, and we will rely on Him for the strength to amend our lives. Well, Paul then concludes his witness with these words. "I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Christ would suffer and as the first to rise from the dead would proclaim light to His own people and to the Gentiles." Here we see that Paul stresses that everything he taught is supported by the Holy Scriptures, the Scriptures that point us to Jesus. You see, that's why it's so important for us to study God's Word. They ultimately point us to Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Well, how did everybody react after Paul said all this? Well, after Paul's sermon, remember what Festus said? In short, Festus said, "You are insane!" After hearing everything that Paul said about Jesus, Festus says, "You're nuts!" But sadly, Festus was the one who was insane. You see, Scripture teaches that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. However, Paul senses that the Holy Spirit is beginning to break through King Agrippa's heart. So Paul says to King Agrippa, he says, "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." Then King Agrippa gave this response. He said, "Do you think that in such a short time you can convince me to become a Christian?" Here we see that King Agrippa is right on the edge. Now, I love what Paul says next. He says, "Short time or long, I pray God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains." You see, Paul knows that God wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know what that means? If people end up in hell, and sadly some will, then they have no one to blame but themselves. Because like Festus, they have heard God's word and they have despised it. But thanks be to God, He has broken through our hard hearts just like He broke through Paul's hard heart. So by God's grace, we will be people who repent, we will be people who trust in Jesus, and we will be people who prove our faith with our lives. Now at the end of our reading, we find out that King Agrippa concludes that Paul is innocent. He would have set Paul free if he had not appealed to Caesar. So King Agrippa prepares to send Paul off to Rome. But once again, we must understand that this is all part of God's plan to bring the good news of Jesus to even more people. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior.